You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Friday, 9 October. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, Derek Jansen van Rensburg, the Spur update, PSG consult results in US initial jobless claims. FNB launches JSE-listed ETNs over hot US tech and consumer stocks. And Andrew Dawson from MacMobile on adapting supply chains to the pressures coming from COVID-19. Some morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Robex braces for a 150% earnings slump. And from Business Day, nothing weird about changes at Spur, says Chair Mike Bossman. Morning markets, US markets green overnight. S&P 500 up 0.8%. NASDAQ up 0.5%. Asia mix, we got Sydney up 0.2% and Tokyo down 0.2%. Gold, $1,917 an ounce. Rand, 16.53. Top 40 opening call looking for a green open, about a third of a percent higher.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Derek Jansen van Rensburg. He is, of course, a portfolio manager at Anchor Capital. Derek, morning. Appreciate your time. That Spur update. I mean, if we take the point from the CEO, Pierre Fontonde, he said it. The recovery post-lockdown has exceeded management's expectations. They're talking about restaurant turnovers for September. It certainly does seem like a fairly strong bounce back with bodes well, not just for Spur, but the broader industry and perhaps even the economy. Or am I getting too excited about one data point?
Morning, Simon. Yeah. Look, I think it was obviously a very positive update that came out. And one needs to obviously put into perspective that there's, let's just call it some built-up, pent-up demand.
Yeah, fair
from
point.
From a spending consumer perspective at this stage. You know, a lot of people being very much homebound and obviously relishing in the idea of getting out and about and starting to enjoy the restaurants and obviously get a bit more social after the COVID-19 pandemic. I think all in all, what we've got to look at it or call it from a retail perspective is that there's certainly some low base points that have been put into place. You know, when anything related to consumer, the consumer space or consumer.
Now, seem to have lost Derek. I take his point there. I mean, a lot of pent-up demand. I suppose what we need to see actually is perhaps a pick-up on, you know, September was great. What's October, November? How's the rest of the periods going to be? Because that's going to be the critical numbers. Certainly, you know, September we were moving into level two. Things were looking a little bit better, and you know, people were rushing out, and also spring was coming. We had got over the winter period. I'd wanted to touch on the PSG consult as well. They had results out, and we're seeing stockbroker numbers actually come fairly decent numbers coming out from stockbrokers. That to be expected, as what we find is that people were trading significantly more during that volatile period, and actually a good flows. We saw JSE hitting a number of records during March. As we said before, it managed to keep going. It managed to stay on and make things happen. And the ones I'm really looking for, and it'll only be coming out in November sometime, obviously is going to be Purple Capital with their easy equities. They've seen a massive, significant boost. Remember, we spoke with Brett Duncan about it a couple of weeks ago after they had won the Stockbroker of the Year. We are frantically trying to get Derek back at this point, struggling with tech. We're going to have to move to our next guest. I also had wanted to touch to him. I mean, there's concerns around the management changes there. Well, as I said in my intro, what we're seeing is from the chair, Mark Bossman. He's saying not at all. I mean, they lost their, who have they lost? The CEO will be departing end of the year, CFO, and I think the COO also leaving. I suspect at times we just see sort of changes happening, and you know, it's going to be expected in a large corporate of that size. We're not going to be able to get Derek back. We're going to have to move to our next guest. But I do see what he was saying. It was Derek Jansen van Rensburg for a short while, the portfolio manager at Anchor Capital.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
FNB have launched a bunch of JSE-listed ETNs. So in other words, anyone can buy them. They're an exchange-traded note on the JSE, so they're available to anyone with a JSE account to buy. What's innovative and different about them is these ETNs are tracking U.S. stocks. We've got 10 stocks. We've got Tesla, Apple. We've got Amazon. We've got Microsoft. We've got Netflix, Coca-Cola, McDonald's, and the like. So now, as South African individuals, we can now go in and buy these shares nice and simple. They're on the market, they're available, and we can get that exposure without having to take the cash offshore, without having to sort of worry about offshore platforms and the like. We can just do it wherever we buy our traditional JSE shares and make it work in that sense. I'm joined on the line by Becky Mkhize. He is CEO at Wealth and Investment Management Solutions, FNB Wealth and Investment. Becky, morning. Appreciate your time. A really great product coming out of FNB. I was saying in the intro there, exchange-traded notes, trading on the JSE, but what we're getting is exposure to those sort of hot tech stocks and some consumer stocks in the case of McDonald's and Coca-Cola.
Correct, Simon. We really were looking to see how we can make it easy for investors to access some of these global icons and do so at a reasonable cost or reasonable entry point. And like you say, give them different sources of return, which we typically wouldn't see in our South African market.
Yeah, and you know, as a South African, I could buy Apple. I can move my money offshore. I can get an offshore broker account. But this is making it easier. And what is important, it's not part of my offshore allowance. I don't need to worry about the dollars. That's all happening in the background. I buy it in ZAR, hold it in ZAR, and profit in ZAR.
Correct. You're 100% correct. It doesn't impact your foreign allowance. And also, for each of these ETNs, we've got two options per share. You can either do it with currency or without currency movement. So investors also have a choice of whether they want to take on currency risk, or they just want to buy it in dollars and leave it in dollars.
Yeah, so those are your Q and your C versions. Which is the currency neutral one, and which one has the currency exposure?
So the Q one is without currency exposure. So there you're not taking there you just, it's in dollars. And then the one that ends with the C, the share code, mm-hmm. which is compo for us, that one has currency exposure. So the Q is without currency exposure, and the C is with currency exposure.
So it's in essence here, if I'm buying the Q and Apple moves, say, 1%, my ETN will move 1%. If I buy the C, there's a 1% move in Apple, but I also then need to look at the rand-dollar exchange rate, because it may enhance that move, or it may take some shine off it.
Correct. That's exactly correct, and that's why we have we have a tracking error on the 1% tracking error on the one with the C, with the currency mm-hmm. exposure.
Is that essentially? I mean, because one of my questions was going to be the fees. Obviously, there's a cost built into this for FNB in terms of the ETN. Is the C, that 1%, essentially going to be that fee to FNB? Yeah.
Correct. So that will be the tracking error margin, which will be 1% embedded in the product just for the C. Mm-hmm. The Q doesn't have that embedded 1% tracking error margin.
Will they pay dividends at the same time? I mean, obviously, you know, some of these stocks are going to be, you know, Tesla not paying dividends, but Apple certainly does. Will the dividend flow through to the South African holder?
Yes, so the dividends will be automatically reinvested into the NAV. Yes, you will get the dividends, but they'll be automatically reinvested into the NAV.
Great. Okay, I like that. And these are fractional as well. Excuse me. I mean, they're trading right now at the market. I've created a whole watch list of all of them. There are 20 in total, 10 underlyings, and then, of course, a Q and a C each, trading at around 10 rand. So these are also, you know, I'm trying to think. I mean, Amazon is north of 1,000 rand, dollars. If we turn that into ZAR, we're looking at 16,000 odd rand. You'd saying, nope, we're going to do them at around that 10 rand issue price. They'll track thereafter, but we're in essence, getting a fraction of Amazon. If we want the entire Amazon share, we just go and buy the correct quantity.
Correct. So once again, it talks to what I spoke about earlier around financial inclusion and trying to get more people to start, you know, investing and saving in global brands that they use, whether it's Facebook, Coke, McDonald's, et cetera. So, and Simon, this is the first, tranche of 10 shares that we're listing. We are over the next few weeks adding another, 10 and we'll keep doing that as part of this program.
Because that was going to be my next question. 10's a great start. I mean, do we start to push it up? I mean, in time, I mean, I don't know what your longer term plans are, but in time, it could be 50 or 100 or even more of these. And yeah, I appreciate if I'm a high net worth individual and the like, and I've got a private banker, probably I'm heading off to New York and doing my transactions there. But your point around financial inclusion, this really is for the private client on the JSE who wants that US exposure and now does it really simple, really easy on the market, and it suddenly opens up a whole new world to private client investing.
Yes, so Simon, that's correct. In fact, we've also had inquiries from even fund managers who want to use this as part of their funds. So it opens up, and we're primarily targeting, you know, private clients and the retail market, but easily institutional market can also use this or access this. So to your question, as part of next sort of steps, we will list more, and we started with the ones listed in New York, but over time we'll also move to listing some of the ones in the East. And then part of our plans is also to look at, you know, at some point, you know, in the node structure, we could also list portfolios for clients. Which would be a basket or a combination of all these shares.
Last point, they exchange traded notes, therefore they do expire in time. That expiry is September 2025, so we've got 5 years at this point. But at that expiry, I mean, there are a couple of options available to F&B. One is to let them expire. That's probably the unlikely option. You can roll them into new expiries. You can extend those expiries. So as a buyer of them, that expiry date shouldn't, you know, it shouldn't bother me in a sense of in 5 years I'm going to be kicked out.
Yes. Now, so we have the option in 5 years to extend that, and it's more likely, obviously, with the ones that have a lot of volume, the there's no doubt we'll probably extend that. We'll look at ones with sort of thin volumes and assess that, but I don't think investors should worry about that. That shouldn't worry.
Yeah,
about that.
And worst case, if you expire it, the investor gets paid out. It's not like
he gets paid out his money as is. And the beauty about this is also the settlement period is a lot quicker than, you know, if you took it offshore directly.
Actually, that's a good point. Yeah. So I think these are absolutely great. As I said, we've got 10 stocks there, the big names, the Teslas, the Apples, Amazons, and the like, Coca-Cola and McDonald's. There's even an index in there. We've got the MSCI index in there. Q and C version. Q is your czar. C would take your give you the currency exposure. And you buy them on the JSE, wherever you would buy your other JSE stocks. Beckham Kesey, CEO at Wealth Investment Management Solutions, F&B Wealth and Investments. Appreciate your time.
MoneyWeb now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Andrew Dawson. He's MD at MacMobile, talking about adapting the supply chain to, obviously, the pandemic. Andrew, appreciate your time. The supply chain, particularly in FMCG, and globally supply chains, but in South Africa especially, really relied on interpersonal contact and for that ordering, for that fulfillment. And, of course, a pandemic has absolutely thrown that out the window, and supply chains have had to start adapting. Are we seeing it? Is it happening? Is the industry adapting to this new reality that we live under?
Simon, morning. Yeah, I believe, yeah, one good thing about South Africans is that we operate as in principle, and we've learned from a very early age in this industry to hustle. And there's been a lot of pivoting in this supply chain, a lot of acceptance of new technology. So yeah, definitely we are seeing it, and I think that it's going to change the way we do business. Primarily, in terms of the contactless environment that we're operating in.
Yeah, I mean, it is going to change. I'm going to come to that in a second. I mean, in essence, a lot of this is going to be a digital transformation, bringing supply chains into the online environment, which, you know, not only does that make it contactless and obviously works under a pandemic, it frankly makes supply chains more efficient and more smooth in their operational process.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what is happening in this digital transformation is the value of data is becoming more pronounced, the value of real-time data, the ability to move from deviation to remedy in a very short space of time is going to have a very meaningful impact on different friction points within the supply chain, the ability to know that they're happening as they happen rather than a month or 6 weeks later is also going to have a meaningful impact. And that's not possible without the right level of technology.
Yeah, that's it. It's that data. It's that analytics. I mean, imagine as an example, you know, if you've got a retail outlet, if you're using your data properly and you've now got these analytics, it's not just that you know you're out of stock of something. It's that you know you will be out of stock on Tuesday and delivery takes a day. So it's time to reorder that almost in advance. And that's the beauty and the power of that data mining and that analytics ability.
So that's exactly it. Yeah, it's intuitive analytics. It's the intelligence that sits in the different platforms that gives you that advanced notification that says, listen, you know, come Wednesday, based on the current sales pattern, you don't have enough stock in store to cover your current rate of sales, so you need to adjust your ordering period so that your stock comes in, or if your mix of products has changed. And that's the impact of this pandemic. Whatever was the historic trends, rates of sale, et cetera, it's gone out the window. Now it's about what are the new patterns? Where's the wallet moved to? What is the mix of products that are being sold? And how do we make sure that we have sufficient stock on hand to cater for that is changing buying patterns? And if you don't have a data platform that's giving you live interactive intelligence around it, you're pretty much at sea.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, you know, we hear from all the big retailers is that customers are shopping less frequently, bigger baskets, and this data is going to help you with that and prep for it. I see this. I mean, we're talking the FMCG, the fast moving consumer good industry, and obviously it's going to be a powerful a disruptor in that space. But I mean, other industries. I mean, I'm thinking just a restaurant trade and the like. I mean, this is supply chains more than just FMCG. This is anyone. And most outlets are going to be at some level of supply chain and really giving them that better data and ultimately making better and more profitable businesses.
Science, exactly. You know, FMCG is a focus, but anywhere where there's manufacturing of a product that gets to an end consumer, that entire supply chain is filled with touch points and friction points, wherever that stock is created through to where it gets delivered. That whole thing has changed. And you mentioned the restaurant industry, the restrictions that come through, the availability of wallet, the change in buying patterns, all of those things are touched throughout the supply chain. So absolutely, without having the right data sets to assist in managing that, you've got challenges on your plate if you're not going down that road.
Yeah, and the pandemic has been a horror, but we are seeing innovation. And I think it was Microsoft who said that we have sort of leaped forward years, and we've seen that all over the place, even in your supply chains in the FMCG, but even wider than that. Andrew Dawson, MD MacMobile, appreciate your time this morning. That's it for today. You'll find us live every weekday morning at 6:30 a.m. on the MoneyWeb website or the app. Podcast available from 7 a.m. Also on the website, the app, or wherever great podcasts are aggregated. Chat to us on the social media, hashtag MoneyWebNow. Massive thanks to my team, Eddie and Cordora, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWebNow. We'll chat again Monday.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.